Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 94. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest, Iowa State Senator Rob Hoeg, author of America's Climate Century. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue. Robert Mason Rob Hoeg, born January of 1967, is the Iowa State Senator from the 19th District, including Cedar Rapids in eastern Iowa. A Democrat, he has served in the Iowa Senate since 2007, after having served in the Iowa House 2003 to 2007. He received his BA from the University of Iowa and his MA and JD from the University of Minnesota. He's also active in the Iowa Climate Advocates, an all-volunteer group of Iowans working to educate the public about the dangers of climate change, advocating for action at all levels to slow, stop, and reverse the buildup of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, and advocating for action that will safeguard people and their property from the effects of climate change and help victims of climate disasters. Iowa Climate Advocates holds a monthly call-in for Citizens Climate Lobby. Visit iowaclimateadvocates.org and see the show notes for more related links. It's an honor to present a recently recorded conversation with Senator Hoeg about how to respond to regressive government. So glad to be speaking again with Iowa Senator Rob Hoeg from eastern Iowa. We had the pleasure of speaking about his new book, America's Climate Century, back when it came back and came out in 2013. And so a lot has happened since then. Senator, you're very active with the Iowa Climate Advocates. I'm very active with the Western Iowa Sierra Club. So we're on the same page in that regard. But bring us up to date a little bit. Not necessarily the last 6 months, but the last couple of years in terms of changes that have happened in Iowa in terms of laws and attitudes about the climate.
Well, Jerry, first of all, let me begin by saying I'm grateful to be back on your show again. It's a great show, and you know, that was a really neat project, writing America's Climate Century. It is still available. It is still a good introduction to the climate issue for people who want to read it. And I know it's available in libraries across Iowa, and I'm sure people can get a hold of it around the country. Let me just characterize what I think is happening. I think people increasingly realize that climate change is real and it's serious. And most importantly, they're now seeing that there are solutions that work. Not only is it the right thing to do to invest in a clean energy economy, is also the best thing for our economy to do that. So I think there's a lot of momentum behind the issue. Unfortunately, our policymakers especially at the national level, are taking us in the wrong direction right now, with Trump and Congress and doing away with the Clean Power Plan, threatening our auto fuel efficiency standards. There are some signs that we're moving in the wrong direction at the national political level, but in terms of the climate solutions that work, boy, we continue to make great advances. Iowa is now getting over 32% of its electricity from wind power. We have a rapidly growing solar energy industry. Fuel efficiency works. There are advanced biofuels that work. So there are a lot of positive things happening. So I'd say we're well on our way to solving our problem if we could get our political system to cooperate with us.
Well, I understand that Iowa is currently like second in terms of wind-generated energy, just after Texas.
In terms of total production of wind power, we've moved back into the second slot ahead of California, and on a per capita basis, we are far above any other state in the country. And it's a real leadership position. One of the things that I was able to do in early May was go to a ribbon cutting for a new wind farm near Ames, Iowa, which has the largest turbines now of any wind farm in our state. There's 3 megawatt turbines. Previously, the biggest turbines we had in the state we're 2.5 megawatts. So this is another major step forward, another innovation in the industry. And what was neat about this particular wind farm is it was built by an Italian company using Spanish turbines. Now, I would have preferred that those had been made in the USA. But, you know, Acciona is a good company that has a presence here in Iowa, and they provided the turbines using Iowa workers to build them on Iowa farms. And it's another real success story for the environment. And one of the things symbolically that I liked about the Italian, the Spanish, and Iowans coming together is it's a real symbol of how we can advance international cooperation and peace by uniting the world to address the climate challenge that we all face.
Indeed. Well, I understand they've also, with these larger blades that move slower, solved some of the problems that the early windmills had with bird kill.
I think that is true, Jerry. And I will tell you, the industry has really been on top of that issue for at least the last decade, if not longer than that. I had the opportunity to travel the state with Larry Schweiger, who at the time was the head of the National Wildlife Federation. And Larry told me and told the news media on that trip that they have been working very actively with the wind energy industry, along with the Audubon Society and other groups. And all of those organizations who have as their primary purpose the defense of wildlife, and in particular bird species, all of them support wind power because they know that wind power continues to get better to reduce the problems that have existed in the past with bird fatalities. That industry has been getting better, and they know that the fossil fuel industry will do much more damage to wildlife, including birds, in the long run from climate change. So I think that is an issue that is being carefully monitored by the industry, worked on by the industry. The industry continues to make advances. And it's another one of those excuses for not taking climate action that I think we can easily get around, because the fact is that these climate solutions do work.
I understand, on a little different subject, there's quite a bit of controversy yet in Iowa about water quality and whether it's that we're going to have voluntary standards or requirements. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, well, I will, Jerry. And here's the reality, which is we have a real dirty water problem in Iowa. It is not, you know, there are some people who just kind of wish it would go away, and it won't, because it's real. We have over 700 impaired waters in our state. As a state as a whole, we are the second leading contributor to the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico. Iowa is. And we've got communities across our state that struggle to provide safe drinking water for our citizens. So this is a real problem. The good news is we have solutions that work to address that. You've got to have comprehensive watershed management, where you're working on a targeted watershed basis, where you bring farmers and other landowners and businesses and cities and industries and environmental groups together to work cooperatively. And if you do that, a couple things happen. First of all, you can make more progress on that watershed, and that's where you have to have good measurement, and you've got to have timetables and goals. So that you can see if you're meeting your goals. So that's really important. The other thing that cooperative watershed management does is it creates the possibility that if there are bad actors, that those bad actors can be identified and corrective action can be taken. And that is really, really important, because, look, there are thousands of landowners and farmers across our state who are working to improve their environmental performance, to keep more nutrients on their soil, to not just have the runoff take away the soil and the nutrients, right, who are really doing practices. And Jerry, you and I both know what those are, but it's wetlands, it's buffer strips, it's better conservation tillage, it is cover crops. There are all kinds of solutions that work. And what really bothers those landowners when they've invested in those solutions. They look at a neighbor who maybe is an absentee owner and isn't doing it, and that bothers people. So, look, we've got to unite. We've got to work together, bring people together, and urgently get after that clean water issue as well. And, by the way, there's a relationship between clean water and climate change. As the climate changes, as it warms, as we have more extreme precipitation events, we see real impacts on water quality because you get these big rain events and they flush all the nutrients off the land and into our waters. And then you get direct carbon fertilization of algae. And then warmer waters breed more, more pollutants, more contaminants. So there's a real significant correlation between climate change and clean water. And that's why we need solutions that address all of these problems simultaneously. And one of the solutions that really works on climate change and clean water are farm solutions like those that I mentioned. Solutions that build the carbon content of our soils and retain nutrients on the land. That's the direction we need to go, not just in Iowa, but across the country and around the world.
That sounds wonderful, Senator. Realistically, though, there are those folks who just don't want to go along. What I would call the libertarian philosophy that I can do what I want when I want to do it, if it's my property. And so, and I don't see a lot of help from the Republicans in the state legislature to work to get those people to go along. They seem to favor only voluntary measures, which pretty much lets them do what they will.
Yeah, well, Jerry, look, the legislative issues are a problem. We actually moved backwards on these issues this year in the Iowa legislature with the first new Republican-controlled legislature with a Republican governor since 1998. So, and we went backwards. We had $4 million cut to the Resource Enhancement and Protection Program, which is the state's primary environmental management program. $4 million was a 25% cut to REAP. Some of our other clean water programs had budgetary cuts. We moved backwards on a bill that tried to create nuisance exemptions for livestock producers. But that law, I believe, will have the same problem that the law did 20 years ago that was passed, which is nuisance laws are a property right. And you cannot take away somebody's right to claim a nuisance without just compensation under our Constitution. So we have a right to be free of nuisances on neighboring lands. I think people realize that. And as we build more, as we build a broader coalition of people who want to address this problem of soil erosion and water quality, as we build a bigger coalition of people who want to address that, Jerry, I believe that we will find ways to address those bad actors who are not participating that will be more effective than nuisance lawsuits. I mean, I'm not one to advocate for litigation. I don't think litigation is ever the best solution. It is a solution in some cases, but it's almost never the best solution. And so what we need to do is really find a political coalition, create a political coalition and a political solution to our water quality problems. And I think we can do that if people stay engaged, keep speaking up. And, with climate change, it's all that more urgent. That we address these issues simultaneously.
I understand what you're saying, Rob, and I appreciate the fact that you want to avoid litigation because nuisance laws pit neighbor against neighbor, and that can never be healthy in building community, if I understand them correctly. Do I?
Yeah, I think basically it's right. I mean, obviously, people have constitutional rights to be free of nuisances, and because it's a property right, and they should be free of nuisances, and it sits out there as an option for people. But boy, it is a costly, cumbersome process, and it does create hard feelings. This is why it is so important, though, that we find a public political solution to these problems where we can unite people and bring them together. And that's true whether it's clean water or whether it's on climate change. And And I'll tell you what, I think as the general public recognizes not just that the problems exist, but that we have solutions that work and really address them, I think the public's going to demand those solutions. And here's why, Jerry. Not only do those solutions help address our environmental problems, but they actually work for our economy. If you want to create jobs, grow businesses, help farmers, save consumers money, these ecological and environmental solutions that we have today really are the best choice. In California today, there are over 500,000 clean energy jobs. They have more people in the clean energy industries in California alone than there are workers in the coal industry today by a factor of 10. It is extraordinary. Our solar energy success story in Iowa, you know, I think people know about our wind energy success story. We have over 7,000 jobs in the state that are related to the wind energy industry because not only do we have the turbines going up, but we have the manufacturing and the servicing of those turbines in Iowa. Well, our solar energy industry is rapidly growing. And just since 2012, when we've passed the state's first solar energy tax credit, we've had over 1,800 projects built, over $100 million invested, and we now have 700 people working in the solar energy industry in Iowa today that didn't exist 5 years ago. And my favorite example of that is a young woman who was a constituent of mine, grew up in Cedar Rapids, got her degree at the University of Iowa, certificate in sustainability, and her first job is with Eagle Point Solar in Dubuque. And she's working, making money, living in Iowa, building this clean energy future. And there are, that story can be told hundreds, if not thousands of times over again. We've got young people all across the state working in the clean energy industries. And we really need to encourage those because it's not just about the environment. It's also about our sustainable economic future. And those jobs can't be outsourced. They involve labor by Iowans, workers. We need workers to do the work. And it's a real success story for our state. And we need to build on that. And if we go down the fossil fuel route, that doesn't do it because, fossil fuels are going to contribute to the climate change problem. And B, they just don't create as many jobs. What they do is they pad the profits for the billionaires that we already have in our society who are trying to buy our political system.
I'm really glad that you have a message of hope. Bear with me though, because I'm reflecting that Iowa is now a trifecta red state, which means they voted for Trump. We have Republican in the governor house, and we have a governor. We have the Republicans control the legislature. That's a trifecta red state, and so some of us are not feeling very hopeful, especially when we get news out of Des Moines, such as bargaining rights for the unions, the public service unions, like the firefighters, police, and teachers. When we see Iowa turning down federal money for Medicaid, and now we're having 4 of our 12 Planned Parenthood offices closed because of that cutoff of funds.
Including Sioux City.
Yes. Yes. Yep. And so you can understand why in the overall broad picture, many of us at this point are not terribly hopeful. So I want to talk to you about strategies for the near and medium future. For example, where is the balance between civility and confrontation? Because I'm not getting a lot of feedback from my Iowa representatives or my federal representatives. I'm seeing a lot of closed ears when it comes to talking about these issues. And go ahead.
Yeah, well, Jerry, let me jump in there because I share your frustration about elected officials, especially the Republicans who are in control right now, who have decided to stop listening. They actually said to us in the Iowa Senate this year, well, we don't need the list anymore because the voters spoke last November. And the problem with that is a couple problems with that. First of all, they said they were going to do things to help create jobs, raise family incomes, improve our schools, clean up our water. And that wasn't then the legislative agenda they followed in 2017. So it was kind of a bait and switch, right? So to rely on the vote last November and say that determines everything, well, that's wrong. The second thing is just as a matter of representative government, you always have to be listing. And they've really stopped listing. And I appreciate, I feel that frustration. Here's where we go from there, though. The answer is not to confront people with anger, or at least do that all the time. I mean, I understand moments happen, right? I feel the anger too at times. So I understand that. But the real best thing to do is to put our efforts and our energies into building the coalitions and uniting people in a way that will let us get to the better future, to stop the bad things from happening and build a better future that is healthier and safer and more prosperous and more sustainable. So one of the things I have done is I am asking Iowans across the state, and I welcome people who might be listening to this from other states to join us in what I'm calling a summer of citizenship, where we reach out to people, we listen to people, we get organized, we educate people, we unite, and we pull together as a society. The answer to all of our problems in Des Moines or Washington, D.C. right now is a renewed spirit of citizenship. So, for example, I'm going to be in Boone on Saturday, June 3rd. Boone County Democrats are hosting the Picnic for the People. It's the same day that Vice President Pence is going to be with Republican Senator Joni Ernst for a fun big dollar fundraiser in Boone. And the Boone County Democrats said, let's not protest. Let's do something positive to inspire people to get more involved. So they're hosting the Picnic for the People on Saturday, June 3rd from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the McHose Park shelter. So I'm excited about that kind of opportunities. And I'm going to be unveiling at that event this plan for a summer of citizenship to reach out and get more people involved, doing more, getting more informed, helping educate people, listening. Listening is really, really important. And I think if we can pull together, I think we can have the biggest political comeback in Iowa's history in 2018. And we can really begin to act on this very positive agenda we have for a safe, healthy, prosperous, sustainable future, right? Where we talk about how do we get better paying jobs? How do we get better benefits for all workers? How do we improve access to health care rather than take it away? And, of course, on the environmental issues, clean up our water and implement clean energy and fight back against the invasive species that threaten Iowa and do all the things we really need to do to achieve a sustainable future.
Well, that's very brave of you to go head-to-head with the vice president and in that sense, and also very constructive. I'd like to move on to a different tactic and get your opinion about it.
Yeah.
Because some of us in Northwest Iowa are very unhappy with our Senator Rick Bertrand, that he has voted what we consider to be voted against the people. And so we're calling for a boycott of his enterprises. He has a couple of bars here on Pearl Street, and we're asking people not to patronize his bars. And so I'd like your opinion about whether you think that is a constructive, voting with your dollars kind of thing, because our feeling is that that's the language that the Republicans can understand.
Yeah. Look, I'm a believer in voting with your dollars. And I don't want to say anything personally about Senator Bertrand's businesses. I mean, like you, I share really extreme disappointment with his voting record this year. And so I'm not going to endorse, or I'm not going to urge you to stop your boycott. But let me tell you where I think it's really, really critical. The fossil fuel industries can take their spare change, and they can use that spare change to try to buy our democracy. When we talk about the Koch brothers, they are a fossil fuel. Their wealth is based on fossil fuels. That's what Koch Industries does. And so I'm a big believer in going the extra effort to invest in the solutions: energy efficiency, fuel efficiency, renewable energy, electric vehicles, walkable and bikeable communities, energy conservation, not just because it helps the environment directly, and by the way, improves our lives, saves us money, things like that, but it also takes away the money that is being used to buy our political system. I don't personally think Senator Bertrand is buying the political system with his businesses, but the amount of dark money from out-of-state special interests that are flowing into the Iowa Republican Party today is very disturbing, that type of operation exists. And, you know, we saw repeatedly this year where the legislation they were passing wasn't really about problems in Iowa. It was just national legislation being applied to Iowa because that's what the dark money out-of-state special interests wanted. So I do think there is a really good role for using our economic power. And if you've connected the dots and that makes sense for you with those particular businesses, you know, that's a judgment for you to make. But I do know that people need to redouble our efforts to reduce our consumption of fossil fuels, because that's not only bad for the environment, it's also polluting our democracy. One of the things I do, Jerry, is when I do something to conserve energy, or I need to remind myself to conserve energy, I will sometimes say to myself, take that, Exxon, right? I'm just, you know, you've got to, I'm going to carpool with somebody to go to something, take that, Exxon. I consider conserving energy to be one of the most patriotic things people can do, because it's not just good for our country and our environment, but it's also good for our democracy.
That is a very positive attitude. Thank you for that. Just to move on quickly, you know, a group of us had a rally in front of Steve King's office here in Sioux City
a week or so ago.
And to try to get it was called a Medicare for All rally. And I'll link to my blog about it in the show notes for this podcast. Do you see some connections there? Do you see some connections between the environmentalists coming in together with the those who are working for better health care?
Oh, absolutely, Jerry. And just so you know, I appeared at both at the Medicare for All rallies in both Cedar Rapids and Iowa City on the same day as your event. And it is a particularly important to stand up for a better healthcare system. You know, when Republicans say they want to take away the Clean Power Plan, apparently because some of them hate the environment, not all of them, but some of them hate the environment, they're just overlooking the really significant public health benefits and the healthcare cost savings from environmental action. And if we're going to have accessible, affordable health insurance for every American citizen, which is my goal, one of the things that would really help us do that is having good, strong environmental protections so that our public health is not being jeopardized. It is a very significant connection. We can build a healthy future for our state and our country that is prosperous and sustainable. And in the 21st century, there's really no reason not to. I mean, we've got all the We've got the technology at our fingertips. We've got real challenges, especially in the environmental field with things like climate change and invasive species and we are really facing some very serious problems. The water challenges, although I think we can fix those if we can pull together, right? Those are maybe even more quickly fixable than climate change. But we're going to be living with this stuff. So we've really got to work hard to unite our people and build that healthy and sustainable and prosperous future that I think all Americans really want.
Well, if I understand it correctly, Texas did 18 months ago what Iowa just did. They refused Medicaid money and decided to put in their own state program for women's health.
Yeah.
And now, 18 months later, Texas is begging to get their Medicaid money back because their home brood system failed seriously. How long is it going to take Iowa to realize that?
Well, my hope, Fury, look, here's the answer. But by the way, it's terrible. We should be expanding access to birth control and cancer screening, not taking it away. And I support Planned Parenthood, and I just think it was ridiculous to make Planned Parenthood ineligible for Medicaid reimbursements, and spend over $3 million in Iowa to try to replace the services that Planned Parenthood could provide on the preventive side. So look, it's bad. My hope is that by January of 2019, we've had such a good political comeback that we're able to fix that problem. Because we should not have, I mean, it was the wrong direction. It was bad for women. It was bad for families. It's bad for health. It's bad for taxpayers. So it really was the wrong direction. Let's unite people across some of our old divides and say, let's unite, because they attack Planned Parenthood because of abortion. Well, here's the fact. When you have good upfront family planning, that's how you achieve the lowest abortion rates that we've had in over 40 years in Iowa and in the country. So it's really misguided. Abortion's not a success. It rarely is the desired result. Sometimes you have just awful, awful circumstances where it becomes a better option than not doing it. I mean, when you have the terrible fetal anomalies and a woman's health is at risk, but government shouldn't be interfering in those decisions. What government should be doing is helping people achieve healthier outcomes, and one of the ways you do that is by making Planned Parenthood available. And you also do it by cleaning up our water, and you also do it by cleaning up our air and dealing with climate change. Across the board, we can promote public health. We should do a better job with tobacco prevention and cessation. And the thing that I keep coming back to, Jerry, is in the 21st century, we really have the ability to achieve this very positive future for our state, our country. And we've got to get over these old sort of misguided divides and achieve that better future together. And I think we can do it. It's time for citizens to come together with a renewed spirit of citizenship, take back our state, take back our country, get us moving in the right direction again. And I think we can do it.
Wonderful. Anything else we need to be prepared for that you see brewing in Des Moines in the next 6 months that we may need to respond to?
Look, Jerry, there are a lot of dangers out there. I'd be worried about retirement security issues for IPers. There are some other things that are out there. But people should just stay involved. Stay tuned. Get involved. If they want to follow me on social media, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. Send me an email at my legislative email address, which is rob.hogg, H-O-G-G, at legis.iowa.gov. In the near term, get involved in this Summer of Citizenship that we're going to be kicking off on Saturday, June 3rd in Boone. Keep speaking up with your elected officials, even if you don't think they're listening to you. Even if you don't think they're listening to, keep speaking up, because if you stop speaking up, then the other side has won. And as long as you keep speaking up directly to your elected officials and in public, we have the opportunity to hold them accountable and hopefully stop bad things from happening and get some good things going here in the near future. So keep speaking up. There's a group, Citizens Climate Lobby, that is asking people to call Congress in support of national climate legislation for a carbon fee and dividend system. They'd like those calls made before June 9th, so people can make calls there. And you know what? Keep hanging in there. Don't despair. We're not going to quit. You shouldn't quit. Stay involved, and together we can build that better future.
Thank you much, so much, Senator Rob Hoeg.
Thank you, Jerry.
Be well, my friend. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to my conversation with Iowa State Senator Rob Hoeg, author of America's Climate Century. I had the pleasure of interviewing Senator Hoeg upon the release of his book on my other podcast, the Common Good Podcast, episode 37. See the link in the show notes to hear that interview. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. on our Facebook page or on the Simple Living Works blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org. Click window number 3. Also, it really helps our visibility when you give Simple Living Works a 5-star review in iTunes. Lots of news. My colleague Lee Van Ham's new book has been released. Lee's the executive director of Jubilee Economics Ministry, or Jubilee One Earth Economics, entitled From Egos to Eden, Our Heroic Journey to Keep Earth Livable. It is volume 2 of Lee's trilogy called Eden for the 21st Century. I've read an advanced copy, reviewed it, and highly recommend it. Lee and I talked about volume 1, Blinded by Progress, and volume 2 on podcasts. The links to those episodes are given in the show notes. We started a new service in 2017 called Simpler Living Sanity and Survival. Amid all the changes in our country, we'll offer a new suggestion each week, not as a placebo, but as encouragement to do something for yourself, your family, your community that may counteract any negative stuff that may be coming or happening now. The suggestions are given in the weekly nudge. The weekly nudge and our weekly digest together make up the Simple Living Works blog. Also, a link to all of the sanity and survival suggestions is given in the show notes. I post an occasional blog called Simple Living Works Extra, which contains an item a bit longer than those in my weekly posts, reminiscent of my more personal blogs before mid-2015. I started a little campaign recently as a response to regressive policies in D.C. and many of the states called I Buy Blue, How About You? Click the link in the show notes or subscribe to the Simple Living Works blog. Simply send us an email headed subscribe blog, then confirm your subscription when a confirmation email arrives. I've started a short series called Banishing Fake News. You can read each little installment in the Simple Living Works blog or read most of it on the Simple Living Works site. See the link in the show notes. I hope these new short features add positively to the national conversation about social change and support the voluntary simplicity movement. After reading them, your comments are welcome. Need a nudge? I've been producing today's Simpler Living Nudge for over a year and welcome you to subscribe for free. Receive it by email or Twitter. Just send me an email with the subject nudge at simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. I've received lots of interesting responses, which you can read on the simplelivingworks.org site. Click on Recent Comments in window number 5 or see the link in the show notes. We've simplified our blogs for this year. The weekly nudge focuses only on the efforts of Simple Living Works. The weekly digest includes the latest posts from colleague organizations. Both come with a free subscription to the Simple Living Works blog. The more complete, almost obsessively detailed monthly digest is now updated at least once a week and kept on the Simple Living Works site. Links to the monthly digest are given in both the weekly nudge and the weekly digest. We hope you'll check it out, but We don't want you to be overwhelmed by the amount of help available toward a life of voluntary simplicity, which young adults now are inclined to call minimalism. I've lined up an interesting conversation for the mid-June with Peter Sawtell, the Executive Director of Echo Justice Ministries. Time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works and would like more basic information, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember, you can listen to all the episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscriptions to this podcast and to our weekly blogs are free and keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Earth Economics. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive way of life. It's not a list of rules, nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. It's a balance of personal responsibility and advocacy for just public policy. It's more than personal happiness, though that's quite important. As you may sense, we put a strong emphasis on social justice. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 through 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Simply live, learn to live simply so others can live.